Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Janet Stobie. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author, get an introduction to their work and perhaps a glimpse into their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write and give them an opportunity to read from their work. And today we're very pleased to welcome Janet Stobie. Welcome, Janet.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Reverend Janet Stobie is a writer, family counselor, storyteller, and ordained minister. During her 19 years in parish ministry, Janet was particularly appreciated for her work with young people and children, and she has written a number of books for children, both ones which are biblically based and some which deal with current social issues. Dipping Your Toes, one of Janet's recent books, is a valuable worship resource containing 44 complete devotional worship services, as well as a guidebook for creating your own devotional worship service. So, Janet, you've written a variety of books, that's for sure. Tell us about some of your children's books, in particular Spectacular Stella and A Place Called Home. Who do you write these books for, and what inspired the stories?
Well, the books are meant for children ages 3 through 10. So the 3-year-olds will have the story read to them, and the 10-year-olds will read the story by themselves. You asked about inspiration for my stories, and that for anything that I write, my newspaper columns, my blog, it all originates with God and with my life experience. So Spectacular Stella started with a conversation. One evening, I said to my husband, I'd like to write a Christmas story for our younger grandchildren. And so I went off to bed, and the next morning I woke up with the beginnings of the story of a star that had gotten lost, just twirling around in my head. And that morning, as the star's story just flowed out of my fingertips, the message came that we are special and loved just as we are. So short stories are like that with me. I get the story, I write it down, and then I spend hours editing. Now, with A Place Called Home, the director of the Lindsay Homeless Shelter asked me to write a good news story for them. And so I felt quite honored, and I went and had a tour of the shelter, and I talked with the workers, and they gave me a new perspective on homelessness. Most of us connect homelessness with the people we see on city streets that are pushing the grocery carts with all of their belongings in them. But at the Lindsay Shelter, I met families who were homeless. In today's world, far too many of us live from paycheck to paycheck, and if the father or the mother loses their job, all of a sudden there's no money for rent, there's no money for electricity, and if you don't have a support system, then you can end up homeless. And so I spent some time in prayer and talking with others about this new face of homelessness, and then one morning I woke up and had the beginnings of the story in my head. And so I wrote it down, and I took it directly to the shelter director, and she took it to the board, and they looked it over, corrected a few details that they didn't think were correct, and I was ready to start the editing process.
Now, then you have another book, Fireweed, for a different age group.
I wrote Fireweed for my wonderful teens in my churches. Christian teen fiction tends to start with a very lost teen who's in trouble and who finds faith and becomes whole again. And my United Church kids didn't identify with these stories. They already had some faith, and they were what we would call regular kids, doing the best at school they could and just trying to survive what happens and to be joyful in their lives. So I wrote Fireweed, and in Fireweed, Renee, the protagonist, is a regular 15-year-old in grade 10 at high school. She does well in school, she has friends, she's on the swim team, and she even goes to church. And her secure life crumbles when a drunk driver smashes into her mom's car, and her mom is killed instantly. And so that when the story begins, it's been 6 months, and Renee is just consumed with grief. She's skipping school, she's avoiding her friends, and her home has become a battleground of daily fights with her dad. So Renee's faith is wavering because she's having to deal with, why didn't God take care of my mother? She was a good person, she took care of other people, and I really need her. And then when a stalker turns Renee's telephone into a tool of terror, she feels totally lost and alone. And so the reader wants to read the story because they want to find out if she's going to survive and if she and her dad will have a new life. So I wrote the story in first person. So you get the two voices. You get Renee's voice and her father's voice. And it's a tough subject, but it's a story of light and hope. And it's an intriguing read, but it's also a resource book because it gives recommendations for things for dealing with grief. And it's been recommended by grief therapists and clergy. So people age 13, 14, right up to 90 and older have enjoyed reading it. They love the courageous story.
Wonderful. And you have yet another book for children. It's called Elizabeth Gets Her Wings. Now, this is going down to the littlies again because it's a picture book. And Olivia Phillips did the illustrations. So you were saying you were delighted with them. Would you like to elaborate on that a little more?
For sure. So this is a Christmas story about a little angel in heaven. According to the story, she has to be there 1,000 years before she gets her wings. And she's only been there 997 years. And so she wants them, and she's impatient like the rest of us. And so she thinks maybe if she can get on the good side of God, she'll get them early. And so she volunteers for a job. And her job is to come to Earth and find 3 human volunteers to go on a mysterious journey. They won't know where they're going, but they have to bring gifts, and they don't have a GPS. All they have is a star to lead them. So in the story,
I think I've heard this story.
Yes, but the story actually focuses on her search for the volunteers, as opposed to the trip of the kings. Yes. And Olivia Phillips was one of my church kids, and I asked her to do this, and I just couldn't get over the drawings that she brought.
They are. They're simply wonderful. I love the fact that she's got that wild carrot hair, you know. You know, yes. It's not the smooth, blonde, neat little angel you see in so many pictures. She's, she's like a regular kid.
Yes, she's full of vim and vigor, this one. Lots of energy. And Olivia's captured the spirit of the book, so I'm just really thrilled with that.
Perhaps we can ask you to read for us from one of your stories. Which one are you going to read from?
Well, I thought I'd read a little bit of Elizabeth Gets Her Wings.
Okay.
My name is Elizabeth. I'm an angel. Yes, I am, even though I don't have wings. We're not given our wings until we've been here in heaven 1,000 years. And I've been here only 997, and I'm tired of waiting. But God keeps saying, have patience, Elizabeth. Your turn will come. This is my dog, Maggie, and she's my best friend. I'm glad she's here in heaven with me. Yesterday, God announced, we need an angel for a job on earth. Pick me, I shouted. Guess what? God chose me, and now I'll get my wings 3 years early. With twinkling eyes, God said, I love you, Elizabeth. Your enthusiasm is a wonderful example for others. Now, this is your important task. I need 3 wise human volunteers. They will find my son Jesus after his birth and bring him gifts. Oh, I can do that. Yes, for sure I can do that. No problem, I said. God smiled and nodded. Do they get to choose the gifts, I asked? Well, no, I've already chosen them, God said. They are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold? Yes, Jesus will be a king. Frankincense, a holy man. That's good, too. But myrrh? That's the perfume of death. Why myrrh for a baby? That's gloomy. God answered, Jesus will be born as a human baby, and someday Jesus will die, just like you did, Elizabeth. Oh, okay. I shook my head because I didn't really understand. Don't worry, Elizabeth, God said. You don't have to understand everything. Now, enough about the gifts. Here are your instructions. Find 3 volunteers who are willing to travel a long distance without knowing exactly where they are going. I held up my hand. Just a minute. They won't know where they're going? How will they find their way? Why, I'll send a star to guide them, God said. A star? You have to learn to trust me, Elizabeth. Yes, but go now. Make your preparations. You'll be leaving tomorrow.
That's delightful. Well, thank you, Janet. We've been talking with Janet Stobey, author of children's books and a YA novel, and books for adults too. And we'll talk again with Janet after this short break.